Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to our Standing Watch program. Are you becoming a slave of men here in the United States of America? Now, some may say this is a preposterous question, but I'd like to show you today that there are alarming tendencies which have been going on for quite a while, which show you a totally different picture than what the founding fathers of the land of the brave and the free envisioned. Now, this program is not directed against any particular individual or any particular governmental agency or any particular party. It is supposed to give you an overall picture. Now, first, let me talk to you about Obamacare. Now, as you know, the Supreme Court, in its infinite wisdom, has decided that the individual mandate is legal. Now, five judges have decided that. Four have decided against it. But they have said it's legal based on a tax provision. And so the interesting thing is that the tax provision was something Obama and the Obama administration and all the lower courts rejected. But now it has become the law. Are you aware of the consequences that decision will have if Obamacare stays in force in effect for many American citizens? Let me read to you from an article by the Associated Press dated July 7, 2012, saying, the Supreme Court's decision to uphold most of President Barack Obama's health care law will come home to roost for most taxpayers in about 2.5 years when they will have to start providing proof on their tax returns that they have health insurance. That scenario puts the Internal Revenue Service, the IRS, at the center of the debate. The health care law includes the largest set of tax changes in more than 20 years, the article says. It goes on to say that the Supreme Court, in its 5-4 ruling, upheld the mandate that most Americans get health insurance. The majority said Congress has the power to enforce a mandate under its taxing authority. The decision labels the penalties a tax, noting that they will be collected by the IRS. What about immigration? Now, you recently heard about an executive order by President Obama saying this, according again to the Associated Press, dated June 15. The Obama administration will stop deporting and begin granting work permits to younger illegal immigrants who came to the U.S. as children and have since led law-abiding lives. The election year initiative addresses a top priority of an influential Latino electorate. The policy change bypasses Congress. Why and how? Because it was done through an executive order. But interestingly enough, President Obama felt prior to that that he didn't have the authority to do that. Notice what it states in the Washington Times, dated June 15, 2012. For years, the Obama administration has said it didn't have the authority to make such a move, saying it could not decide to stop deporting wide categories of people on its own without approval from Congress. But then on Friday, President Obama says the administration now interprets the law to give it the discretion. And not only he said it, it is also stated and was stated by Mrs. Napolitano last year, according to the article. She specifically rejected the kind of categorical move she made on Friday, telling senators she only had the authority to examine cases individually. And so many lawyers and legal experts feel that this circumvention of Congress was unconstitutional. But the Republicans haven't said an awful lot about it because they also are in need of the votes by this great contingent of people who are obviously in favor of such a decision. I'm not taking any position as to whether the decision itself is right or wrong. I'm talking about the mechanics. I'm talking about the fact that mechanics are being used which seem to be against the law. And nobody seems to care. What about the Fast and Furious debacle? Remember, that's when the government gave weapons to Mexican criminals and murderers, And in turn, they used the weapons to kill American citizens. And so now Congress, through a committee, tried to find out how much the Attorney General knew about it. And so they asked for documents, and the documents weren't forthcoming, and then they threatened with contempt. Notice what happened on June 20, according to Newsmax. Obama invoked executive privilege for the first time since being sworn in as president to withhold documents from the House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform. We subsequently still proceeded with a contempt, but nevertheless, of course, that was of no practical application and value because Mr. Holder's staff would have to take further actions against him, which is not going to happen. Again, the legal opinion is that President Obama doesn't have the authority to issue such an executive order to withhold governmental documents from Congress. Now, what about drones? I've talked about drones before, the fact that we are using unmanned aircraft in other countries to kill terrorist suspects. Mind you, these were not people who were convicted of being terrorists, they are just suspects. But what about using drones in the United States of America itself? Now, many Republicans feel that using drones in other countries, that's fine and good. What about using them here? Notice what the Inquisitor wrote on June 17, 2012. If you think Big Brother is watching you, there's a chance you're right. The American Civil Liberties Union released a report in December 2011 in which they voiced concern over military drones flying over American skies while potentially spying on U.S. citizens. According to the civil rights group, the drones could eventually eliminate the privacy Americans have traditionally enjoyed in their movements and activities. And notice this article from World Net Daily from June 1, 2012. They recently reported the federal government is moving quickly to open the skies over America to drones for commercial and governmental purposes. Veteran Washington Post and Fox News commentator Charles Krauthammer is forecasting, quote, rifles aimed at the sky all across America, close quote. The federal government announced it is beginning to allow public safety agencies to fly unmanned aircraft or drones with fewer and fewer restrictions. Not only can drones spy on people, many of them now are armed. What about your privacy when it comes to telecommunication, to emails, and so on? Did you know that there is no right of privacy, of confidentiality when it comes to email communication? But most people don't know that. Most people don't know that the American government can easily spy on your communication, but not just email, when it comes to what you tell other people. Now here's an article by MSNBC from July 7 saying this. Does the US government read your email? It's a simple question, but apparently there is no simple answer. And the Justice Department and the IRS are reluctant to say anything on the topic. In March, the American Civil Liberties Union caused a nationwide stir when the advocacy group released the results of its year-long investigation into law enforcement use of cell phone tracking data. After issuing hundreds of Freedom of Information Act requests, the ACLU learned that many local police departments around the country routinely pay mobile phone network operators a small fee to get detailed records of historic cell phone location information. In a landmark 2010 case, United States versus Warshak, government investigators acknowledged that they read 27,000 emails without obtaining a search warrant, violating both the suspect's privacy and the privacy of everyone who communicated with the subject. The Justice Department and the Obama administration had a chance to settle the issue in April 2011 during a Senate hearing on the Electronic Communications Privacy Act. Instead, officials with both the Commerce and Justice Departments failed to provide any clarity. Instead, a Justice Department official argued against extending Fourth Amendment protections to email, saying that doing so would hinder investigations. There are lists out there. If you use a word, a certain word, and I've seen some of those lists, it will automatically trigger a surveillance, at least, maybe an investigation, of the U.S. Department. And some of the words which you might be using in an email are just preposterous, because you use them all the time. Now, some are more sensitive, of course, but this is already happening. Most people are not even aware of that. When you as an attorney take a computer with sensitive material, attorney-client privilege communication, let's say to go overseas, you have to go through security, they have the right to look at everything which is on your computer. They don't have to care about any privileged communication. So attorneys going over there need to be aware of that. Now, what about other intrusive measures by the government? For instance, RT.com wrote this on July 13. The White House has finally responded to criticism over U.S. President Barack Obama's hushed signing last week of an executive order, again, that allows the government to command privately owned communication systems and acknowledges its implications. And then it talks about this executive order. It's called, and listen to this nice title, Assignment of National Security and Emergency Preparedness Communications Functions Executive Order of July 6, which authorizes the U.S. Department and Homeland Security to take control of the country's wired and wireless communications, including the Internet, in instances of emergency. And of course, then it goes on to say that Time Warner, Verizon, Comcast would be under this order if the administration, Washington, agrees, doesn't have to go to Congress at all, that it's warranted for security's sake. And what it means is they can control telecommunications facilities, including telephone, cellular, and wireless networks, in order to prioritize government communications over private ones in an emergency. And emergency is going to be defined by Washington, by the president. And if there's going to be another incident in the United States pretty soon, the terrorists are trying to do something horrendous, we can already imagine how much more and more our liberties and freedoms are going to be taken away from us. And if we don't wake up, my friends, pretty soon, we may wake up one morning and wonder, where did our democracy go? Where did our liberty go? Where did our freedom go? Whatever happened to the government by the people and for the people? You see, the Apostle Paul is warning us not to become a slave of man. Unfortunately, we are talking about that incident, that development, in horrendous terms. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 21 to 22, Paul says, if you are a slave and you can come out of it, come out of it. But don't you become a slave of man. Don't you become a slave of the government. You should understand that this is what is happening in the United States of America today. Thanks very much for listening. This is Norbert Link for the Standing Watch program.